My name is Tommy Park. I am the RUF campus minister at the wonderful University of North Florida, home of the swooping ospreys. Did I hear a swoop? It's a good place. And I have served there. This is my 11th school year at University of North Florida. And me and Tim went to seminary together, so we are good friends. So it's good to be here. I want to say thanks. This church is a good, faithful church, a church that is friendly to the college students in particular, but also good friends of mine. So thanks for your hospitality. Thanks for being a faithful witness here in Gainesville. Thanks for being so hospitable, particularly to college students, and being a fan of RUF and other ministries, and just being just good and friendly. And so it's an honor. It's an honor to be on the college campus, as you can feel that here in Gainesville. And it's been a privilege of mine to be there the last 11 years to minister to students in those times that are good and bad and weird and crazy all at the same time. And so please continue to pray for us at the University of North Florida, but also here at Florida, that RUF in particular would reach students for Christ and to equip them to serve. And so, again, thanks for having me. I'll probably will send Tim and Ross a note saying thanks for going out of town, but that's here and over there. So today our passage is in the minor prophet Micah. It's in that little part of your Bible that you probably, it's hard to find. We often do not go there. And so as we enter the season of Lent, this time where we reflect, as we repent, as we see the ugliness in our own hearts, as we see the ugliness in the world as we experienced this past week, as we reflect on what's inside of us, as we long for that morning where Jesus rises and starts anew, this new creation. So this morning we're going to look at Micah. The whole theme of this letter is that of judgment and forgiveness. We've seen that the Lord has scattered his people for their sins and for their transgression. But here we also see that God's the same God, the great shepherd, the one who comes and swoops up his people to protect them and to forgive them. So as we turn our attention to God's word, we're going to read from Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. So listen to God's word. God's word says this. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have you done? What have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. For I have brought you from the land of Egypt. I have redeemed you from the house of slavery. I have sent you before Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balaam, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened at Shilmal and Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I say? What shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Let's pray. Dear gracious Father, we just thank you that you are a God who is good and true, that you are a God who is truly with us and for us, a God who comes alongside of us, that you do not leave sin and injustice alone, that you have an answer for it. And we feel it real this morning as we come to your table, as we come and worship you into your presence, as we even hear on the news this past week, we live in a broken world. And we are broken people. And as we start this season of repentance, may you remind us of your amazing love for us. That you have given us your one and only Son to remind us, to show us that we get to approach the throne of grace because of you giving your firstborn Son. And we just give all this and pray this all in your great and wonderful name. Amen. Again, a quick reminder, the book of Micah was written in a dark time in the life and history of Israel. The short context of the book is that the people of God that were freed from their oppression, that was freed by God, is now, and they were being oppressed, now have become the oppressors. In the first five chapters of Micah, God was going through everything that they were doing wrong. Idolatry, unfair business practice, hurting the poor, seizing property, the failure of civil and religious leadership, and violence. And we see throughout this book that God brings his people to court, to lead them to repentance. And for some of you, as you've started a new year, if you started this time of Lent, maybe you are taking yourself to court. Maybe in some ways that you take yourself to court each Sunday, each day of those things that you have done, those things that you know that you have done, the things that haunt you deep in your heart, but also those things that have been done to you, those pains, those sorrows. And so here this morning, we will see God's invitation to be restored and to respond rightly to our God. And we see even in the small book how patient our God is, that he is one who's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. One question I get often as a campus minister and as a pastor, I would assume that Tim and Ross get this question as well, is how can I have victory in the Christian life? How can I progress as a Christian? In some sense, the season of Lent is that question. How can I progress? How can I get better in this thing as I wait for the glory of God to come, as I wait for the new heavens and the new earth? And again, maybe you are in the midst of a dark time that you are just wishing that you can do things better. And here, Micah, and through God's word, is going to invite us the way for us to grow and to mature as Christians is that we need to do three things. First, we're going to see that we need to recognize God's greatness and his justice. Second thing we'll see is that we need to remember his mercy. And the last thing we will see, well, I'll leave you in suspense. I don't want to give it all to you. I mean, all you guys will take good notes and take a nap. So first, we need to recognize God's greatness and his justice. For us to gain victory in the Christian life, for us to progress, to grow as Christians, we need to recognize God's greatness and his justice. Here in the first three verses of Micah chapter 6, we see God is bringing his people to court. The scholars call this a covenant lawsuit. God is suing the Israelites because they were not living up to the very covenant that they have created. Again, listen to verses 1 through 3. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. Again, as you know, I do RUF, and this past week we were on the green, particularly on Valentine's Day. My daughter worked hard this week making over 200 cookies. She made sugar cookies and then these chocolate mint. It was very good. And so she made those for Valentine's Day because she wanted to pass out God's love to just random students, not just to our RUF students that get love all the time. She just wanted to. So we're on the green. We're passing out these cookies. And on the other side of the green was a man, as you probably know, at the University of Florida. You've probably seen this guy with a giant banner saying, "Fear God." It was kind of this interesting situation. We have a handful of college students and a 10-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 3-year-old passing out cookies, just saying, Happy Valentine's Day. And here, on the other side, we have a guy screaming out, Fear the Lord. And there's a sense where both of those things, those pictures are true. That with this God who has made everything, the God that we read there in Genesis 1 who has made all things, and the God that we read in Colossians 1 who's holding all things together, and the God who will come back to make all things right as we read in Revelation 21, there is this healthy sense of fear that should be there. That he is the Lord of heavens, that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But at the same time, we see here even this passage of God's amazing love. As I mentioned, there's the sense that how patient our God is. I mean, even in this small book, this is the third time that in the small book of Micah that God brings his people to court. I mean, he had all the evidence in the world to get us the first time. But he brings us again and again to show us his patience for us, that he is with us. And here in these verses, we see that God is bringing his people to court. And he is the, and it's interesting that here he calls the mountains to be the very witness. See, these mountains have been there from the very beginning. They have seen it all. The mountains have seen the very unfaithfulness of God's people and the very faithfulness of God. And God is wanting the people of Israel and to us to see God's greatness of our God and that he is a God of justice. That God is taking his people to court to remind them who they are, so that we would repent and to live in light of God's mercy. And this morning and each morning, we need to be reminded that our God is one who does not leave us in our sin. He does not leave injustice alone. That our God is calling us. He's calling us out and to remind us of his greatness, of his goodness, and to call us to repentance. And so first, I have a question for you is this. Do you really consider God as great and holy? Has that truth ever reflected your life? Has God ever confronted you with your unfaithfulness? For you and for me to live a life that would bring true change, we need to see that our God is great and awesome, that he's a God of justice, that he is a great and almighty God. And at that point, God will call us to true repentance. Listen to this quote by Richard Lovelace from his book, The Renewal as a Way of Life. Richard says this, "Feeling good about yourself is a primarily goal of popular psychology. But for biblical religion, it is at best a way on the road to knowing God. And at worst, a deceptive trap. Only by fixing our attention on God, can we accurately know ourselves, both the grace that he is giving and the depth of our needs. If we compare our lives with those other humans, it may be easy for us to say, I'm okay. But if we measure our goodness by the holiness of God, it is another story. Encountering the biblical God can be a deeply unsettling experience. Awareness of God's holiness and the depth of our sin is the precondition of personal renewal. The experience of God's people under the old covenant is simply schooling in this knowledge. The mighty acts of God combined with the exposure to his law are designed to produce a humble awareness of human sin and divine goodness." So again, this morning, have you been unsettled by the goodness of our God? Has God's law exposed the sin that is deep into your heart? And do you realize that because of your sin that you need to come face to face with the very justice of God? On a side note, one thing I really love about God's word, and particularly this passage, is that you see the gospel here with God even taking us to court. God does not say, I mean, he probably has the right to say, you people, what have you done? But over and over again, what he says is my people. Our God does not treat us as we have made a contract with him, but he treats us as he has made a covenant with us. He lives and he responds and he works with us with his loving covenant that our God is with us and for us, that we are his people. And so first, for us to grow and for us to progress and have victory in the Christian life, we need to recognize God's greatness and his justice. Second, we need to remember God's righteous acts in our lives. In verses 4 through 5 here in Micah 6, God lists these very things that God has done throughout history of the people of Israel. And he encourages us to remember what he has done in our lives as well. Again, listen to God's word. It says, "For I brought you from the land of Egypt, and I've redeemed you from the house of slavery. I've set before you Moses and Aaron and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember what Balaam, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened at Chilmel of Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord." See, here are these verses that God lists these four events for God's people to remember of the very righteous acts of the Lord, so that we would know the Lord. We often need to be reminded of the great things that our God has done for us. And the reality is that we are people who often forget. We need to be reminded. And I think, you know, this is why he gives us the Lord's Supper. This is why he gives us Sunday mornings. This is why he gives us Lent and Easter and Christmas. It's for us to remember the very great things that our God has done. The last couple of Christmases, I do have a wife. She's not here this morning. But the last couple Christmas is what we have introduced our children, our Christmas classics. Nikki introduced our kids to movies like White Christmas and Miracle on 34th Street. My pick for a classic this year was Home Alone 2. And one scene that really stood out to me in that movie is the scene when Kevin is in this music hall, kind of in the attic, talking to this bird lady. Kind of interesting, that's her name in the movie, Bird Lady. And they're talking, and they have this conversation. The Bird Lady opens up. "The man I loved fell out of love with me. That broke my heart. When the chance to be loved came along again, I ran away from it. I stopped trusting people. Kevin, no offense, but that seems like a sort of a dumb thing to do. Bird Lady, I was afraid of getting my heart broken again. Sometimes you can trust a person, and then when things are down, they forget about you. Kevin, maybe they're just too busy. Maybe they don't forget about you, but they forget to remember you. People don't mean to forget. My grandfather says if my head wasn't screwed on, I would leave it on the school bus." And Kevin goes on, "If you need someone to trust, it can be me. I won't forget to remember you. Bird Lady, don't make promises you can't keep." The reality is that we are people who often forget. We often forget to remember what our Lord has done and what he is doing. We are people who are too busy. We're too wrapped up with the own things in our lives. But the good news of the gospel is that we have a God who never forgets. He always remembers his people. We have a God who always lives up to his promises, that he will never leave us or forsake us. And for us to live rightly, to gain victory in this Christian life, we need to remember that our God is with us and that he will never leave us or forsake us. That this God that we have is not one who makes a contract. He's not one who makes a deal with us, but he's one who swears himself to us by making a covenant with us, that he will never leave us or forsake us. He is one who always and forever will come alongside of us. And so when we have a God that we can trust with the good days of our lives and those bad days, those days that we wish would never end and those days that we wish would end right now, that our God is with us. One author said this: remembering in the Bible is not merely a matter of calling to mind, but it's to actualize the past into the present. Remembrance equals participation. I think this is why we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Jesus wanted us to participate in a meal together, to remember the very goodness of his love for us. So take time today. Take time this week. Take time during the season of Lent. And remember on Easter morning that our God is a good God, that he is with us, that he is faithful and that he is true and that he is with you. First, take time to remember how your God has redeemed you. Cherish in the thought that God has freed you from slavery so that you can live unto righteousness. Some of you have crazy stories of God coming in and swooping you into his family, of calling you by name and to bringing you even here to this place. I mean, just think of the reality that probably the most of the people in this room you would not know if it wasn't for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Recently, I've been, a great honor and privilege of mine is to eat lunch with a lot of different people. And when I'm sitting with somebody who I know is a Christian brother or sister in the Lord, I kind of give them this thought. I said, we would not be eating right now if it wasn't for Jesus. I wouldn't know you. It's a beautiful thought in the gospel, that our God is one who redeems me, but what he does is that he brings me into a family with other brothers and sisters, and that he has called me by name and brought me into the very family of God. Cherish that thought, that if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who lived and the one who died, the one who rose again, and the one who will come back, the reason that you know the people next to you, the reason that they are dear friends is because of Jesus. So take time. Remember how the Lord has redeemed you. Remember and cherish how he has saved you. Cherish in the thought how he is preserving you. That he is with you. That he will never leave you or forsake you. And second, remember how your God has provided leadership and good friends to help you through life. That he has given you dear friends. That he's given you pastors. That he's given you maybe parents for some of you, and brothers and sisters of people who are truly with you. I believe good friendships is what makes life bearable. And I think God gives us that to remind us that he is with us and that he will never leave us or forsake us. So during the season of Lent, for us to have lasting change in our life, we need not to focus on those things we wish we could do better, but we need to focus on the very faithfulness and goodness of our God, the one who is with us, the one who is for us. So for us to have victory in the Christian life, for us to change, we need to recognize God's goodness and his justice. We need to remember God's righteous acts. And lastly, which you might be still in suspense, is to respond rightly to our God. We see here that we need to respond rightly to God. After we recognize God's greatness and his justice, after we remember his mercy, we need to be people who respond rightly to him. In verse 6, we see this question, what shall I bring, or what shall I come before the Lord? It seems to be the question for all people of every age. In other words, how do I respond to God's justice and his mercy? How do I respond? What do I bring? How can I make this right? And I think most of us, and maybe even some of us, are asking this very question this Sunday morning as we start Lent, or even as you start a new week, as you approach the Lord's table. What can I bring? What can I give up this season? What can I do better? What checklist can I get a hold of to make me do a better job? What can I do differently this season? In verses 6 and 7, we read this, "Shall I come before the Lord with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I bring my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" I think since the very beginning of time, we've been trying to pay off our debt to God. We have been wondering, what can I bring? What can I bring to the Lord to pay this thing off? And the reality is that we cannot pay the price. The problem in Micah's day and our day is that we have turned God's gracious covenant into a contract. And there's something in the human heart that we want to try to pay off our debt to this gracious and good God. Even in these verses, we see the progression from burnt offering to 1,000 rams, to rivers of oil, to the very firstborn of our son. We want to pay this off. Dale Ralph Davis says this, "Our hope does not rest in the sincerity of our repentance, but in the intensity of the Yahweh's compassion." See, the New Testament is the very answer of this, is that God has done it in Jesus Christ. What shall we bring? The reality is our debt is too much for us to pay ourselves. The only way for us to pay the sin of our soul is for the ultimate firstborn, Jesus, the righteous, the one who paid it all. The good news of the gospel is that God gave up his first and only son for my transgression and for yours. And we need to live in response of Jesus facing the very justice of God on our behalf so we can experience God's mercy, his loving kindness. So we come to Micah's best and fundamental teaching. Maybe some of your favorite verse. Some have called this the Micah mandate in chapter 6, verse 8, which says, "He told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God." So how does God want us to respond in light of his greatness, of his justice, and his mercy? God wants our very selves. He wants our lives. He wants our love. God wants us to live out his character and his nature into this hurting and broken world. The Lord desires that these primarily forms of love, of justice, mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. First, justice. What does it mean for justice? It's the prescribed, is the way prescribed, the rightful action. It is connected with righteousness. And clearly we see what injustice looks like. We felt it. We even feel it right now as what we heard on Valentine's Day. We long for the rightful action to be true all the time. And so God is calling us to be people of justice who live rightful with our neighbors and with our coworkers and with our family members and even with our enemies. That we are people who are justice, that we live differently, that we live we reflect his very character. The second thing that we see here is mercy. This is the same Hebrew word for hesed, for loving kindness. Just as God has shown us mercy, he wants us to demonstrate that mercy to others. We must graciously serve the hurts, the wants, and the needs around us. Boaz is this great biblical picture of what mercy looks like in the story of Ruth. And he calls us to be that. Lastly, he wants us to walk humbly with our God. For us to be people of justice, for us to be people of mercy, we must walk humbly with our God. One author puts it this way, Micah's threefold requirement cannot be separated, packaged, and labeled. The three qualities hold together. Is the only by applying ourselves to the third, to walk humbly with our God, that we can begin to practice the first two, to do justice and to love kindness. That is also what it means to love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, is to love your neighbor as yourself. Justice and kindness are, in fact, essential qualities in the nature of God himself. They do not come down from heaven wrapped in parcels. They're expressed in and through people who walked humbly with their God. And for us, to be, to, to answer this call, to be the very people of God who walk humbly with them. We need to walk humbly with the same God who is there from the very beginning. Again, the same one, the same God who was there at the very beginning of creation, who spoke and there it was. That same God, as Colossians 1 puts it, is holding all things together, and the same God who is going to come back to make all things right. He is calling us to be people who walk humbly with that God. And again, we see it here at the Lord's table. The sweet reminders that our Lord gives us are not these things that are just simples. But here at the table, we participate in his justice, in his goodness, in his mercy. Only at the table we get to be humbled together and to walk with him, to have that intimacy with our Lord, that we get to taste and see that the Lord is good. See, the God of justice and mercy, we are called to walk humbly with them. And God has ordained the church to be that transforming force around the world by the very power of the gospel, with word and with deed, as we know God and to love him and to share him with this broken world. Israel was supposed to do that, to show the very character and nature of our God to the whole world by showing justice and mercy and by walking with our God. But we see they did the opposite. So this morning, do not take yourself to court and wonder how you can make sacrifices to make yourself better. But take yourself to the very throne room of God. Take yourself to the very table of God and be reminded that our God is the one who remembers us, that he cherishes us, that he loves us and he adores us. So this morning, take a look at the very justice and mercy of our God and then to respond rightly of our God's greatness and his unending mercy. So this day, this week, this year, resolve to walk humbly with this faithful God who is true. This God who will never leave you or forsake you. This God who will always remember you. Let's pray. Dear gracious Father, again, we thank you for your word that it's true and it's good, and that you have given us this word to remind us, to show us of your goodness, of your mercy. As we now go, as we turn our attention from your word into your sacrament, this grand picture, this meal, that we get to participate and we remember of your goodness and your mercy. We pray that you would remind us that you do not forget us, that you always remember us. And may we be people who respond by remembering you, reflecting on your love for us and what you have been faithful in our lives over the years of saving us and redeeming us and restoring us. I pray that we would be people, I pray for this church, that they would be a people who would be people of justice and mercy. As they walk humbly with one another and with you, that the city of Gainesville would take notice, not of them, but of you, the God who is with them, a God who restores them, a God who saves them. And we just pray all this in your great and wonderful name. Amen.